Iranian president lauds Iranians' efforts in technological and scientific fields. Iran's foreign minister says cooperation among all countries would establish regional and international security. Iran says any new offer from the P5+1 should match Iran's comprehensive package of proposals. Syrian president says he is confident about winning the conflict against the foreign-backed militants. And Saudi-backed Bahraini forces attack protesters across the kingdom. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Neema Shitsas. The Iranian president has expressed that Iran is swiftly treading the path of scientific development, appreciating the Iranian youth for their efforts and achievements in technological and scientific fields. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark in a ceremony to exalt a number of exemplary university students from all over the country. He said when a nation decides to make progress, God will facilitate its move. Praising country's scientific progress as remarkably quick, extensive, and profound, the president said, Iran has witnessed a sevenfold rise in scientific products over the past 7 years. The president added that Iran's share in world scientific products has increased some 2.7% since 2005. Iran's foreign minister has expressed the necessity for cooperation among all countries to establish regional and international security, saying regional cooperation within the framework of Eurasia is a global must. Ali Akbar Salehi made a remark while addressing an international conference on Iran and regional cooperation in Eurasia and Tehran. Salehi added that Tehran believes that materialization, improvement, and institutionalization of cooperation in Eurasia is a confident way to attain sustainable growth and development in the region, while helping reinvigorate international peace, stability, and welfare. The International Iran and Regional Cooperation and Eurasia Conference started work in Tehran on Monday. Experts from Iran, China, India, Russia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Germany, Tajikistan, and Kazakhstan have attended the conference. Meanwhile, and on the sidelines of the same conference, Iran's foreign minister criticized the UN chief Ban Ki-moon for his biased remarks about the Islamic Republic's nuclear energy program. Ali Akbar Salehi said such views would undermine Ban's international credibility. Salehi noted that the UN Secretary General's views are not supposed to satisfy others, otherwise he will lose his credibility as the UN Secretary General and an international figure. Salehi also called on Ban to speak out impartially and based on the realities. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says any new offer from the P5+1 group and the forthcoming talks with Tehran should match Iran's comprehensive package of proposals. Rami Mehmandaras hoped that in the next meeting, the opposite party's offers would be on equal footing with comprehensive proposals submitted to the P5+1 by the representatives of Iran. Mehmandaras said the negotiations should move towards full recognition of Iran's nuclear right, while dispelling any allegation and allaying possible concerns about the nature of the Islamic Republic's nuclear energy program. Referring to the ongoing crisis in Syria, Mehmandaras reaffirmed Iran's support for the national dialogue as the key solution to the Syria crisis. He noted that if Iran's potentials could be beneficial to make the national dialogue happen, there would be no hesitation. Iran's defense minister says the country will unveil a variety of combat and reconnaissance unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, in the near future, stressing that the new drones will play an instrumental role in upgrading Iran's defense power. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi said drones are needed by the country's marine sector. Vahidi further said Iran's defense ministry also plans to test fire two air-to-surface missiles in the future. Elsewhere in his remarks, Vahidi said, the might of Iran's navy guarantees security of the country. He added that the navy's missile power would nip the enemy's hostile strategies in the bud. The defense minister emphasized that Iran should have a strong presence along its southern coastlines in order to drive out the enemy from the region and undo its strategies. Meanwhile, the Iranian defense minister announced the upcoming unveiling of the indigenously built warship named Jamaran II. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says he is confident that the country's army will win the conflict against the foreign-backed militants. Making the remark during a meeting with a number of Lebanese officials in Damascus, President Assad said, Syrians are convinced that the future is theirs and Syria has the will to defeat the Western-backed conspiracies. However, he said, Syria still has a lot to do politically and in the battle against extremist terrorist groups. Meanwhile, Syrian Minister for National Reconciliation, Ali Haidar, reiterated the Syrian government's readiness to hold talks with all opposition groups. In other news, Syrian soldiers have killed dozens of foreign-backed militants during mop-up operations on the outskirts of the capital, Damascus. Various kinds of weapons and munitions were also seized by the Syrian army in the process. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces have attacked protesters who took part in demonstrations to call for the downfall of the regime in several locations across the kingdom. The protesters came under attack in the northeastern island of Sirte when they were mourning the death of a woman who was recently killed by regime forces in the village of Abu Saiba. Similar demonstrations were also held in the day in several villages, with people taking to the streets to condemn the ongoing crackdown by regime forces. The protesters also demanded the immediate release of political prisoners. Bahrainis demand political reforms and a constitutional monarchy. And now a recap of our top stories. Iranian president lauds Iranian's efforts in technological and scientific fields. Iran's foreign minister says cooperation among all countries would establish regional and international security. Iran says any new offer from the P5 plus one should match Iran's comprehensive package of proposals. Syrian president says he is confident about winning the conflict against the foreign-backed militants. And Saudi-backed Bahraini forces attack protesters across the kingdom. More than 1,000 Palestinians have staged demonstrations in the northern city of Nablus in the occupied West Bank to show support for hunger-striking prisoners in Zionist regime's jails. Meanwhile, some 1,500 people also gathered in the center of Al-Khalil to voice concern over the deteriorating health condition of the hunger strikers and demand their immediate release from jails. The health condition of the prisoners has sparked several demonstrations across the Palestinian territories. Protesters said, they will hold the Zionist regime fully responsible if any of the prisoners died. Meanwhile, Zionist forces have carried out a night raid in the home of another Palestinian prisoner, named Samar al-Essawi, on the outskirts of East Al-Quds. The attack came on Monday, days after Essawi announced he will not terminate his long-term hunger strike, which he started in August 2012, to protest against his administrative detention. Tens of thousands of Pakistani protesters marched nationwide in protest at a deadly bomb attack in a crowded market on Sunday in the southwestern city of Quetta, in which at least 84 people were killed and almost 200 others injured. The protesters said the Pakistani government had failed to take proper action to prevent the terror attacks on the Shia Muslim community. Meanwhile, the mourning relatives of the victims have refused to bury the bodies of their loved ones unless the government takes concrete actions and finds the perpetrators of the slaughter.
We want an end to Sunni-Shia rift, especially the killings of the Hazaras. Why is this terrorism targeting them? Why are their families being destroyed? We from Interfaith League have come here to show solidarity with them.
I tell you by name that this terrorism that you're carrying out in the name of Islam, there can be no bigger enemy of Islam than you. What you're doing to a different sect of your own religion is something you should not even be doing to atheists. I strongly condemn you on behalf of Pakistani nation, and I say that this terrorism that you're carrying out is harming Islam, and you are harming Pakistan.
Today we are not gathered on the basis of religion, but we are gathered on the basis of humanity, because we believe that we are all human beings in first, and then we are Muslims, Christians, Hindu and whatever. And today we have Christians, we have bishops here, we have pastors, we have Muslims, friends here, we have Hindus and Sikhs. It is a symbol of our unity, it's a symbol that people of Pakistan belong to one family.
Meantime, the world is familiar with Islamic Awakening has strongly condemned the massacre of Shia Muslims and a recent bombing in the southwestern Pakistani city of Quetta. The world assembly said in order to fulfill their schemes and worldly interests, Islam's sworn enemies devised dangerous plots to take control of the political and economic arteries of the Islamic world. The statement said the enemies plotted to sow discord among Muslims in order to achieve their ominous objectives through the policy of divide and rule. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has also condemned the terrorist attack. Ban called on Pakistani authorities to take action against the perpetrators of the bomb attack. The UN Secretary General also called for swift and determined action against those claiming responsibility and perpetrating such actions. Seven people, including five policemen, were killed in an attack on the office building of a senior Pakistani official in the northwestern city of Peshawar. Melton stormed the building when the top officials for the northwestern tribal district of Khaybar were holding a meeting with the representatives of a group of main political parties in his office. Eyewitnesses said the attackers exchanged fire with security personnel guarding the office. A civilian and one attacker were also killed in the incident. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack.
We have just searched the crime scene. First, the militants opened fire and later tried to enter the compound through the main gate. They managed to pass the first security line and enter. We saw the bodies of two attackers who blew themselves up. The explosives were powerful. About 8 kilograms of explosive material was used.
Egypt's Supreme Constitutional Court has rejected five articles of a draft election law in a move that may delay parliamentary polls due in April. In a statement released on Monday, the court said it has returned the draft parliamentary electoral law to the Shura Council after making five observations on five articles which it found unconstitutional. The statement did not mention which parts of the country's election law had been criticized. Reports say the court is expected to issue a fuller statement in the following hours. This comes after President Mohamed Morsi issued a constitutional declaration that sweepingly expanded the Egyptian president's powers last year. However, the president rescinded the decree after thousands of Egyptians protested against the decree. Unemployment in Portugal reached 16.9% in the past quarter of 2012. Now Portugal has the third highest unemployment rate in Europe. A correspondent in Lisbon delves into that topic.
Announced restructuring of their operations in Portugal, which includes the closure of 100 bank agencies and a cut on 350 jobs. During last week, Union Trades had meetings with the bank administration in search of ways of causing less damages to the workers. This process is still in the beginning and it's part of international plan for the company. We asked two clients from Barclays their opinion about these closures. In 2012, the British bank fired 200 people and closed 19 agencies in Portugal. If the company succeeds restructuring their plan operation, in 2 years, Barclays will have lost 550 workers and 120 agencies in Portugal.
With last year's closures and job cuts, and now with this announcement, will this be the end of Barclays in Portugal? We'll have to wait to find out the next chapters of this story. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
Over 1,000 flights were cancelled as a Iberia staff called a 5-day strike in protest against restructuring plans that will lead to over 3,000 job cuts in the company. The airline said 70,000 passengers would be affected by the first strike and that it had placed some customers on different flights, including those operated by different airlines, while proposing refunds and alternative travel dates for others. Staff, including baggage handlers, pilots, and air stewards, will hold 3 5-day strikes in February and March to protest management plans to axe 3,807 jobs and cut salaries at the airline. That is a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.